You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
ParanewsInsider.com. Produced by WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of May 31st, 2016, and episode number 267. And this is your host, as always, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. Well, I hope you enjoyed your Memorial Day weekend. Hope you bought a car, because they were selling a lot of those. But for me, I had to work all weekend. But my weekend officially starts tonight. So I'm excited. I did get to spend a little time with family, drinking a few cold ones, and eating some great hamburgers with my in-laws. So it was a good time. I did get to enjoy a little bit between work. And I hope during that time you also remember those who gave their lives so you could enjoy your picnic as well. What is going on this weekend? So much going on for me. I'm just kind of overwhelmed with between working and all this weird stuff on my end. Well, not on my end, but on different things that are going on with the paranormal. Well, this week's news includes cryptozoology gets some good press. It does not happen very often. We'll talk about that giant squid update, and we'll talk about Bigfoot hanging out in Alabama. Cool. And we're also going to talk about disclosure. Yes, disclosure. It's actually going to happen soon. Wow. Already? Is the Earth ready to flip out? We'll also have the book of the week. Hopefully I'll have some time for conferences, conventions, and a whole lot more. Find out what's going to happen tonight. Well, let's see. Some updates from myself. I know a lot of people love this part of the show. Some people don't. Just announced last Thursday, I've been added to the list of speakers at the 4th Annual Strange Encounters of Pennsylvania event on August 20th in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. And if Johnstown, Pennsylvania sounds familiar, that's because that's where the big flood was in 1889 that killed just over 2,000 people. So hopefully it's not raining the weekend we're there. But John Ventry, Stan Gordon, and a few local speakers will also be on hand. They're going to be talking about strange weather. I'm looking forward to that. I think that's going to be neat. And some other strange things in Pennsylvania. Never been a part of a strange encounters convention or conference, so that's going to be kind of neat. They're looking forward to hearing me talk about cryptozoology. I'm looking forward to going out there. It's going to be a good time, and it's, again, Johnstown, Pennsylvania. It's about an hour and a half east of Pittsburgh. So if you're in the area of southwest Pennsylvania, central Pennsylvania, Maryland, West Virginia, Ohio, get there. And the best thing about this is it's free. It's free to the public. Donations would be welcomed, however, at the door. And for more information, you can check out the list of events at the Paranormal News Insider events page at paranewsinsider.com and click on the little events tab there at the top. And also coming up this Sunday, June 5th, I will be the guest on Squatch Detective Radio with host Steve Coles. Really excited about this. I highly respect the work that Steve has done. And it's kind of weird. We talked to each other Sunday right before his show. It goes on at 10 o'clock from 10 to 11 every Sunday. It just came back from my little picnic out there with my in-laws and got the, we just kind of talked back and forth real quick and realized he had a show going on in a few minutes. But I agreed to go on his show, and it's weird because his book is the book of the week this week. Wasn't planned. Actually, I had planned on doing it last week, but I had a few pages I had to read. I wasn't quite done with it yet. I don't want to rush it. Also, there wasn't very much in the way of cryptozoology news to talk about, so decided to pick another book, and I think that kind of worked out well. And having his book as the book of the week this week and having this announcement plus a few cryptozoology stories, I think really helped out as well. So it's going to be interesting. Looking forward to that show. Done so many shows over the years, but never been on Squatch Detective Radio. So I'm excited about that. He's a great guy. We see eye to eye on so many different things. So it's going to be a great interview. And you can check that out at SquatchDetectiveRadio.com. All one word except for the .com part there. Or he's also BeyondBordersRadio.com as well. And now, I know some people don't like when I talk about all the things I do, but then again, you know, I do host the show. So, but I don't talk about everything I do. Now, if you want to know everything that happened with me and the paranormal stuff, what's going on, I'll tell you. Let's see, what else is going on? I'm waiting on a date, actually, for more information as well for a podcast in Australia. I got that a few days ago, an invite for a show called Naked Zombie. Now, that sounds exciting. And I guess I looked at the time change thing. I think he's in Brisbane. So it's actually 9 a.m. in Australia on Wednesday morning. That's going to be weird. I hope I don't get jet lag for that interview. I'm also going to be showing up at a private event on the campus of Northeast Ohio Medical University in a couple of weeks, talking about cryptozoology to a small group of people who are interested in the paranormal. They actually have a paranormal group on the campus, so that's going to be exciting to do as well. Not stuff that I normally advertise here. And I just sent in today my byline for a short article that I just submitted as well, which will be appearing in a future issue of Skeptical Inquirer magazine. And more details on that coming in a few weeks when that gets published. And what else is going on here? Email today. What did I get today? I was invited to take part in filming for an episode of Ghost Detective for this coming weekend, but I'm going to pass on that. Some good friends of mine are going to be out there, and I think they're more well-deserving. I really don't care to be part of that stuff. Not my thing, but that's exciting. And I appreciate the invite, but TV, not my thing. I have a face for radio, and we'll keep it that way. So let's talk news, paranormal news this week. I mentioned there's some cryptozoology stuff. We have some cryptozoology stuff. What's this thing with the unicorns? Weird. I don't know what's going on. There's lots of unicorns in the news lately, but a really interesting story. You don't really see too many positive stories about the paranormal in the news from those who write about the news, the journalists, the editors, and whoever else has a part in putting any kind of story in the media. Paranormal, not really favorable. UFOs, ghosts, even cryptozoology kind of gets a little snickers every now and again. Not those kind of snickers. I saw that. Anyway, an interesting story appeared recently in the New York Post about cryptozoology. The title of the article was, quote, "Maybe Bigfoot believers aren't crazy after all," unquote. Well, I could kind of argue that one, but I'll let it go. I think that's good. It's positive. The article focuses on the International Cryptozoology Museum and its director, Lauren Coleman. The article is based on many recent discoveries of animals once thought to be more mythical than anything. And the article starts out with the recent discovery and news story from March of the animal dubbed a unicorn, which was actually a large hairy creature found in Siberia that originally was thought to have gone extinct 350,000 years ago. But fossilized skulls point to one living as recently as 29,000 years ago. And then Lauren is quoted in the story about Bigfoot and Yeti and said, quote, "Gigantopithecus is thought to be what the Yeti or Bigfoot might be," unquote. In response to the fact that Disney is bringing back the Gigantopithecus onto the big screen in the new adaptation of The Jungle Book. Coleman also states about Bigfoot-like creatures, quote, "Beneath the smoke, there's fire. What we're searching for are new species. Indigenous people report these creatures They maybe use the words fantastic or monsters, but they really think that there is a real animal out there, unquote. The article then states that a Bigfoot-like creature might not be that far-fetched. Oh, well, that's positive. It gives the example of the 2003 find of Homo floresiensis, a find of skeletons of hobbit-like humans on the island of Flores in Indonesia. The following year, Japanese researchers discovered a living giant sea squid, which more than likely explains the legend of the Kraken. Or is it Kraken? I don't know. I can never figure that one out either. Lastly, in 2013, a creature was found that matched that of the ancient Chinese and Japanese folklore of the Dream Eater. Spooky guy. The article also mentions the possibility of the next greatest cryptozoology discovery, potentially, that of the Orang Pendek of Indonesia and Southeast Asia. Coleman states of the Orang Pendek, quote, "For the last 25 years, there have been consistently good reports, good sightings, good footprints, and also some hair samples. And I'd say we're within 25 years of a major anthropological discovery in that area. That will really shake up the anthropological world and the zoological world, and it will be an outstanding discovery," unquote. That's really positive. Granted, all of these findings are great, and it's always nice to stick it to the hardcore skeptics out there, but just keep in mind that this does not really give the Loch Ness Monster, Chupacabra, or Bigfoot or anything else any more credibility in being able to be discovered. But then again, as I always say at the end of the show, don't stop believing. We'll see. I've always been a proponent of the Orang Pendek. I think that that's really going to come to fruition. If any kind of out there creature is going to be discovered, I completely agree with Lauren about the Orang Pendek. I have a copy of a footprint of an Orang Pendek that I show at conventions and public speaking events because I do believe that this little guy is going to be discovered out there. These are small dudes, small hair-covered dudes. And I think that of all the stuff, Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, Chupacabra, the usual suspects, I think Orang Pendek is the next one. And that's a pretty important one as well, being human-like. So that's that. And mention the Kraken. I don't know how that's really pronounced, you know, which is proper. It's probably both are okay. I don't know. I really haven't done the looking into all of those factoids. But it's in the news. It's about the giant squid, essentially. It's in the news again. It's a big discovery, 2004. Another major cryptozoological find, in my opinion, that really kind of turned the tables on the skeptics a little bit, although, you know, the jury's still out there about how big these things are. Well, that's what this story is about. The living specimen filmed for the first time finally proved that these long creatures did in fact exist. Many dead specimen are usually around 30 feet long. Scientists had studied over 130 specimens and felt as though 42 feet would be the maximum length that these creatures could grow. One scientist even said that suggesting that they could be longer would be a disservice to science. I don't know who said that, but that's kind of rude. But scientists now feel that they could be much larger than that. Well, how large? Well, the article that I got this information from was on livescience.com, and it's called, quote, "School bus size giant squid may be lurking deep in the sea," unquote. Well, as soon as I saw the school bus thing, I thought that was a little weird because I know school buses are regulated, and did a little research and found that the maximum of 45 feet in length for the United States, according to the National School Transportation's Specification and Procedures 2005 revised edition. Yeah. So 45 feet, they're capped out there. So how big can this thing be? That's only 3 extra feet of this proposed maximum, and only, you know, 15 feet from the usual suspects. So maybe they should revise that to oh, I don't know, semi-tractor trailer from front to rear axle, giant squid maybe lurking deep in the sea. Okay, that doesn't sound as cool. Anyway, a statistical analysis of existing specimens parts gives Charles Paxton, I'm not going to get into how they did all the parts measurements and stuff. It's a little complicated. And I'm not really in the mood for stats right now. But a fisheries ecologist, Charles Paxton, and statistician at the University of St. Andrews in Scotland, well, the educated guess that the giant squid may be, in fact, be able to grow as long as 65 feet. That's pretty big. I think you're going to need a bigger bus. Well, Paxton is from Scotland, so maybe they have some extremely long school buses there. I don't know, doubtful, but who knows. That's really interesting news. Hopefully we can discover one of these 65-footers. But again, he's just using an educated guess based on different parts of these creatures and looking at the proportion of one versus another and trying to guess how long these guys are. Whether he's going to be right or wrong, who knows. But be great to find one at least 50 feet. I think that would be awesome. And that would further validate these findings for, these krakens, krakens, these giant squids, these creatures that brought down pirate ships and appeared on maps, ancient maps. I think that would be cool. But we already found them, so we just need to find bigger ones. Paxton's findings were published on May 17th in the Journal of Zoology. And he's already being attacked for that, but that's okay. We can believe, right? That's what we're here for. We got to believe. And more cryptozoology news. A strange story from cryptozoologynews.com. Not sure how much I really believe this. I've done a little research. Wasn't going to include this week because I really can't find any other information other than this particular story. But apparently, a man in Gainstown, Alabama, reportedly saw a Bigfoot-like creature back in 2015 after a family reunion while sleeping at his cousin's house. Well, he saw the 8-foot-tall, 800-pound creature with 16-inch feet and 5-foot-long arms standing on the porch going through the trash as he watched in amazement. But he had time to measure the feet. He stated that he was too scared to move and watched the creature for over 20 minutes. 20 minutes. All right. Well, this seems legit, I guess, until we find out that Mike Brumfield, the witness, is also a member of the BFRO. The BFRO is the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization. So he has a hobby of wanting to find these creatures. And yet he was frozen for 20 minutes. Yeah, that's like people who investigate ghosts, and they hear something, they see something, they freak out, they run, go running away. This is what you're there for. This is what you trained for. This is what you're wearing the t-shirt for. You ordered the black t-shirt with your group name on it. You're there in the dark with your flashlight looking for shadows. That doesn't make any sense. But anyway, you're there. Why are you running? Why are you screaming? You're there to see Bigfoot. That's what you trained for. That's what you got the walking stick for. That's why you got season 1 and 2 of Finding Bigfoot. It's there on your porch, man. Snap some pictures. Mike Brumfield, again, the witness, member of BFRO, is also listed on the Florida membership page. Check that out. He stated he was unable to get a photograph of the creature as his phone was across the room. Across the room during his 20-minute observation. Okay. Good job. Good job, Mikey. You had your chance. Golden chance. Be on the front of Time magazine. You failed. Well, he stated that he didn't move because he didn't want to scare the creature off. Okay, well, Bigfoot spent 20 minutes going through the trash. I think he was a little preoccupied, Mike. I think you could have snapped a couple pics, Mike. Well, apparently he was able to get other forms of evidence. Well, all right. Brumfield collected finger and handprints located on a trailer on the property. Hopefully they weren't his. The family that lives on the property in which the sighting happened has since seen the creature on numerous occasions. Uh-oh. Better get a trash can. Apparently, the creature has attacked their pets, which are kept outside, and the family is now stating for someone to come out and capture the creature, or they will, quote, "will find it and kill it," unquote. There you go. They're going to find it and kill it. Brumfield stated, quote, "there is no doubt in my mind that this was a real encounter. I know the area, and if I were a Sasquatch, that's where I would live," unquote. That's a little weird to say. I think that's a little weird. "There's no doubt in his mind it was a real encounter." Okay. "And if you were a Sasquatch, that's where you'd live." Okay. All right. I'll go with that. Regarding the wish to kill something, he further explained that "we have never received a report where a Bigfoot hurt anybody," unquote. Well, he sure froze you up for 20 minutes. I find this story highly unlikely, and despite Mike Brumfield being a real person, there are no other reports of this family's statements anywhere other than on CryptoZoologyNews.com. No local sources. I looked at the Clark County Democrat, South Alabamian, the Thomasville Times, regional news outlets, TV stations, news channels, radio stations, I don't know, like 20 sources. Nobody carried it. Granted, it was a holiday weekend, and they really didn't poke and prod too much today looking for information on this story because it's really not high on my legitimacy scale. And even then, even if there is a story, even if somebody does come forward and say, yes, this is the family, and yes, we have this Sasquatch, we want to kill it, if nobody comes out and takes it off and puts it in the freezer, it still doesn't make it legit, in my opinion. I mean, a witness coming forward would be good. It would help a little bit. But I'm still thinking that this smells a little funny. It smells like worse than a skunk ape here. My thinking is that this is just another Bigfoot investigator that's gone off the rails in order to gather their 15 minutes of fame. But other than myself, I don't know how many other people are talking about this story. I don't know how big of a deal this is going to be. I haven't seen anything else today about it, like I said. Nothing in any other news other than CryptoZoologyNews.com that is carrying the story. So obviously, I know that news organization or whatever you want to call it, website, they get a lot of people that email in because they publish a lot of things without doing any kind of research behind it. So they're often taken for a ride, I guess, is kind of what I'm trying to say here. So probably more than likely just a hoax. But it's weird that it is somebody related to the Bigfoot field that's supposedly a legitimate researcher and investigator. Person is looks like he's fairly engaged with the field because he's doing a lot of different things with BFRO. So you would think he'd be on the up and up, but every now and again, people fall off. People fall off and they start hoaxing to get their 15 minutes of fame. But I'll keep looking. I'll see if anything turns up on the story. And if it develops into a legitimate news story, you'll hear more about it here. So again, despite Brumfield being a legitimate guy, I'm still not certain this is anything but a hoax. And that is your cryptozoology news for the week. That's it. That was pain-free, right? So we're going to get into some UFO news. This is kind of a, I don't want to call it ridiculous story. I don't want to say I'm getting tired of hearing this. I think this is entertaining, but highly illogical, in my opinion, because I think we're giving too much credit to the people of the focus in this story. And, well, you know what I'm going to do first is I'm going to take the last story I just talked about here in Cryptozoology News. Well, Dita beat me to it. Dita beat me to it. She's already got the link. There's the link to the story. Thank you, Dita, for the CryptoZoologyNews.com link. But there's the story link. You guys can chew on that for a second. Here, I'm going to go into UFO news. Hopefully, from what I hear from Paranormal Audrey there in the chat room, is that next week I should have the update on the MUFON sighting statistics for the month of May. We got one more day, and we'll find out if I'm right on my prediction, which I know I'm going to be. I predicted last month that I was way off in my prediction for April. I think I predicted 670, and there was like 561. Yeah, I was off. Something like that, yeah. But I predicted 585 total reports and 419 for the United States. So I'm excited. I think I'm going to be close. We'll find out next week, hopefully, if the sighting statistics do make it my way. Thank you to Audrey Hamilton in advance if I can be able to cover that for next week. That's going to be fun. Always exciting to talk about that. I'm weird about that, those statistics. I think it's interesting to break those things down and kind of disseminate this information to kind of digest the sightings. And granted, there's a lot of things that go into those things. It's not scientific, even though it is statistics. It's just interesting to see trends. It's interesting to see what state is really spiking and kind of dig into those and wonder why. Why are certain states seeing so many things, and why is there influx or deflux? And I think last year was huge in sightings. It was set some records as far as numbers of reports. June, I believe, was the highest, over 1,400 reports in the MUFON history, highest month ever. So we'll see how it is in the month of May. Find out. I mean, I think it's going to be interesting to also see how close I am. It's my prediction. I'm going to have to put up or shut up with something someday. I'll have to put something on the line, I think, for my predictions one of these days. But we'll see how, I guess we'll see how this month goes, how good of a job I do. And, well, it's time for me to let you know that you're listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting from Youngstown, New York, emanating live at WCJVRadio.com. And this is the Paranormal News Insider with your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And speaking of time off, yes, this is my weekend right now, officially. Excited about that. Going to go out, maybe go kayaking tomorrow, go out on the lake. It's going to be fun. But somebody's back from their long vacation. I don't know how this guy gets all these paid vacations here, but be sure to tune in tonight at 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, as Frank Lee talks with Butch Witkowski, director and founder of UFO Research Center of Pennsylvania, editor of JAR, the Journal of Alien Abduction Research, member of the Institute of Frontier Science, Paranexus consultant advisor on UFOs, member of Academy de Ufology, former MUFON chief investigator, STAR team investigator, and state section director and former law enforcement officer, among many other titles, I'm sure. That's probably the condensed version. Butch Witkowski, tonight on Paranormalities and Ponderings radio show with host Frank Lee, right here on WCJV Digital Broadcasting at WCJVRadio.com. And Butch is a great guy. He was one of the first people there the weekend of the PA Bigfoot Camping Adventure. Got this to talk shop with him for a little bit there and stand around and hang out with him. And cool guy, very knowledgeable, always a great guy to listen to here on the air. So always got something to say, always got a great story, and always ties it in with some great knowledge at the same time. So don't miss that tonight. You get a little hour to decompress from the news and look up some links and read some stories, have all that fun, but then make sure you're back with a handy beverage and a handy notebook to take some notes, as Frank always says. So UFO news, back to UFO news here. This is an ongoing story. I don't think we're seeing the end of this anytime soon. And it really depends on who's elected president as to what direction the story will continue to evolve, which I'm sure it's going to continue to evolve. We're going to be hearing about this probably every other week, probably until the dust settles on the White House, more or less. And this is about disclosure. Disclosure has always been a very hot topic here on the Paranormal News Insider. And I believe, I can't remember the year, but 1 year it was the top story of the year, the number one paranormal news story. I don't remember what year, 2000, I don't even want to say it, I don't know. But it's just a matter of time now until disclosure happens. That's the rumor. That's what the news says. Well, that's what the Mirror says, United Kingdom online newspaper that's always factual. It's been rumored that Hillary Clinton, we've heard a lot about her lately, about how she's going to unlock the secrets of aliens, Area 51, Roswell, and a host of other information about the government's knowledge of extraterrestrials. She's going to make it happen. My goodness, she's been living with one for how long? Anyway, now apparently Barack Obama, President Barack Obama, will reportedly reveal to the world what the United States knows about E.T. before he leaves office. That's official. This is a groundbreaking story. And again, it's from the Mirror, which, I mean, the Mirror. They never make anything up, and they always, always tell us the truth through their spot-on journalism. Great job by the Mirror, yes, always. Always accurate, always timely. Okay, I'll stop right there. Yeah, I'll stop right there. Stephen Bassett, executive director of Paradigm Research Group, calls himself the world's only lobbyist, I should say, on the ET and disclosure issues. He states, with the growing pressure and statements by the Clinton staff on disclosure, that the current president will fold under the pressure and reveal the secrets to the world. I don't know if that's how it works, but that's what Bassett seems to think. And Bassett states, quote, "This will be a reality this year and across the front pages of newspapers across the world." He also added that ET is real, and also stated, if that wasn't enough, that this will be, quote, "the most significant news story that has ever been broken," unquote. Huh. Bassett is so confident in this that he also adds, quote, "I'm 85% sure Obama will make the announcement before he leaves office, and within days, your Prime Minister David Cameron will follow," unquote. I really don't know where he got the 85%. I'd like to, you know, ask him that question. I have his email address. Maybe I'll email him and ask him, how did you get 85%? I mean, that's kind of a weird percentage. There's a large gap for error there, but I'm not sure. 85%? That he's gonna. I mean, what's your sources? Did somebody, you know, email you, or you get a phone call, or is this just how everyone else is speculating by watching press interviews? Which is kind of weird, because in this story on the Mirror, which I'll throw that link in the chat room as well here in a second. Well, I won't wait. Throw it in there now. Kind of an interview there going on, and they asked this guy, what do you think about all this stuff? And the guy dodges the question, and they think, oh, he dodged the question. That means it's real. That means that it's legit, that, wow, they have to be hiding secrets. I think they're just tired of hearing about it, and they really don't have a position on it. So that, I think that's why they kind of poke fun at that. The bottom line here, I think that we're giving the government way too much credit for their purported knowledge about what's going on in our skies. Do I think that they're holding back information? Absolutely, but not as much as what we think, and not as in detail. I don't think they're working out secrets with alien races and allowing different breeds of aliens to abduct people and do all these things and attach DNA and try to take over the world, and they're selling out, and they've got spaceships, and they're going to leave us behind. I don't think any of that stuff is true. I think that's just we're giving them way too much credit. I mean, my goodness, look how we can't get along with with anybody else. You think we're going to get along with an alien race? No, I don't think so. But it's interesting that there is a lot of talk about this, and the press corps is answering all these questions. And I'm not going to say it's not an important issue. I think it is important that we understand what the government knows about alien life forms. Other than NASA, I think, obviously, I don't think we're going to find out about complex life forms, even if we do have knowledge of that, until we find out about other life forms that are out there first. Then I would worry about, I would get excited about disclosure. You know, if NASA all of a sudden says, okay, we definitely do have, we found life in outer space, creatures or whatever, simple life forms, we definitely know they exist. Okay, that's a bridge. That's the beginning of all this stuff. But again, I think we're giving them way too much credit. The government's really not that organized. I don't think we're going to get that kind of information. But we'll see. Like I say, don't stop believing. And what else do we have? Well, we have some other news here. And I just want to take a second here, as I usually do around the UFO news, and remind you that you can catch the Paranormal News Insider at a variety of places. I've done a little work here to try to get this radio show. It's a radio show until it's recorded. Then it becomes a podcast. So I throw this podcast out there. You can find it a lot of places, man. You just got to look. Look at your favorite download place, wherever you download stuff from, iTunes. It's on iTunes. You can get that from the App Store, or you can get it on your computer, wherever you want. It's also pretty much immediately downloaded to Mixcloud. My producer, she takes care of that. She puts that out there for you as quickly as possible. So if you miss the show, you're tuning in late, and you don't want to spoil any surprises, well, you can always get it on Mixcloud pretty much right after the show's over. She does a heck of a job with that. And that's available through an app or on the web. And I upload all my shows, all my archives are archived. That's why it's an archive on Podbean. So anything I've ever done, all 266 prior shows to tonight are, since 231 are on Podbean. The rest of them are on my website. But there are links on the Podbean site to get to those links. That one's only available on the web. But Podbean, all my newest, latest, and greatest one-hour shows are available on Podbean on the app. I've also got it on Stitcher, which is also available on an app or the web. Spreaker, also on the app or web, and goodness knows where else all that stuff is. But anyway, also through social media, you can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/ParaNewsInsider, Twitter, @ParaNewsInsider, Google plus ParaNewsInsider. My goodness, I'm everywhere. You got to be nowadays. I think that's just how it rolls. If you're not on social media, you're not on anywhere. People aren't going to find you. They're not going to hear about you. So anyway, other news from the Strange Earth Files. This is an interesting story here. I've always had this fascination with this story here. And it's cool to hear this. It's a little scary at the same time because nobody knows. Nobody knows. So from the Strange Earth Files, data released from the European Space Agency points toward the fact that the Earth's magnetic poles are weakening at a much faster rate than previously thought. Uh-oh. The data comes from a set of three satellites that track the strength, direction, and variations of the Earth's magnetic field. These recent measurements point toward a 5% annual decrease in the geomagnetic field every year. Granted, the data also shows that decreases are happening at different rates in some places, and actually increases are happening in others. Now, some feel that this foreshadows the flipping of the Earth's magnetic poles, and I'm one of those people. Yeah, I don't believe in much, but I really feel that it's about time that the Earth's magnetic poles are going to flip on us. So what does this mean? I mean, what does this mean for us? What does this mean for the future of the planet, the future of Earth? Tsunamis, earthquakes, volcanoes, mass die-offs, human extinction, mass chaos? Okay, well, that all sounds exciting, but it's even scarier to know that scientists actually have no idea what would happen if the polls reversed, or even how long it would take. That's scary that they don't have the answers. I mean, the polls reversing could take time. It could be instantaneous. We may go from anything from all of our magnets falling off of our refrigerators to losing the ability to use our computers, our electronics, even our power grids may shut down permanently. We may have to retrofit everything. We don't know what would happen. That would be really, really bad if that happens. But most scientists feel that the worst that would happen is that compasses would have to be relabeled. Okay, well, I'm not sure about that, but I guess it pays to be positive. And I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to cause panic in the streets and have my bug-out bag ready to go and shimmy off into the woods in my underground shelter. But you never know. I mean, that it could be catastrophic. It could cause some damage. It could cause a lot of things. I mean, is everything that's going on the Earth right now with the numerous amount of earthquakes and volcanic eruptions happening all over the world, is all that tied in? I don't know. No one's really talking about that. But it's a little scary to think about all the stuff that's going on. I've heard people throw in about the red tides that are happening in the Pacific Ocean. That's kind of explainable. It's kind of with La Nina, a little warmth throughout the year, too warm, and it's causing all that stuff. So I don't think that has anything to do with it, but it is concerning the amount of volcanic activity, earthquake activity, all over the world at the same time. It's a little unusual, but scientists aren't hitting the panic button, so my hand is a little closer than theirs, but hey, as long as they're calm about it, I'll try to maintain calm about it, but it's an ongoing story. That's a little scary. So now we're going to shift gears to the book of the week. And like I said earlier on in the show, the book of the week is Steve Coles. He's got two books out. I haven't read the other one yet, but the first one is really cool because it's about the 2008 Bigfoot Georgia Bigfoot hoax that happened. And if you don't know anything about Steve Coles, well, Steve Coles, I'll kind of give a brief bio here. He's a professional investigator. His career spanned over 20 years. He specializes in video analysis and forensic interviewing and interrogation. He's also a former firefighter and medic. He began Sasquatch research in 1998, and he resides in New York. He still lives in New York. He's a believer after putting numerous witnesses through his interview process and believes a boots-on-the-ground mentality when it comes to Sasquatch investigations. He's appeared internationally on television, on radio, and in print, including the History Channel, National Geographic Channel, and the Fox News Network. The other book, 50 Large, The Real Story of the Georgia Bigfoot Body Hoax. He was at the forefront. When I started my show, The Paranormal News Insider, back in September of 2008, it was basically launched around that story. We had talked about it. I was the first guest on the show back in May. It was called The Grand Dark Conspiracy, and it was a monthly show. I was invited back in August to shift the show's direction. We had talked about where he had talked about Dan Bouts, who was the host, talked about ghosts. We had a ghost guest every month, so he had me on to kind of shift gears, and we talked about UFOs and talked about cryptozoology. And obviously the big story at the time, again, was this Georgia Bigfoot hoax. So that kind of led us into a discussion about news stories and talking about the news and the paranormal. And lo and behold, the next month, the Paranormal News Insider was born. So Steve wasn't in the middle of that. He just kind of uncovered a lot of the information and did a heck of a job with it. So that's not the book of the week, though. But I do recommend, if you are interested in that story, 50 Large, The Real Story of the Bigfoot, Georgia Bigfoot Body Hoax. This book, the book of the week, is What Would Sasquatch Do? Yes, Dan Bouts, the great Dan Bouts. Great radio show host. Loved the Grand Dark Conspiracy. Turned into The Darkest Hours Late Night the last year that we were on the air. And we left the radio station in May of last year, and we never came back. But I wanted to continue what I was doing, and that's why I joined WCJV. Anyway, this is about Steve Coles and what would Sasquatch do using primate behavior to validate the Bigfoot mystery. That's the book of the week this week. And the one thing that I read about his bio was he believes in a boots on the ground mentality when it comes to Sasquatch investigations. Well, what does that mean, boots on the ground? Well, obviously getting out there, doing the work, getting out in the field, and not hiding behind your computer keyboard and monitor. Seems like so many people kind of play that part where they spend more time behind the computer than they do actually out in the field. And they almost seem awkward when they're out there. Not Steve. Steve is just natural when he's out there. He's an awesome researcher, extremely knowledgeable, very scientific about his stuff. And the thing that I really like is his interviewing skills. I think the interviewing aspect is highly underrated. And if you've read any of my books, you know that I spend a lot of time talking about the interview process. I use a cognitive interview process. I use a very unique warm-up process that helps get the client in the right kind of scope to give out a lot of details about their sightings. And hopefully, you know, we can talk about that. Maybe he can incorporate that, or I can learn something from him as well about interviewing techniques. But I really respect that. He's a great researcher. An investigator, and he's very level-headed too when it comes to this stuff. And the book, What Would Sasquatch Do? Using Primate Behavior to Validate the Bigfoot Mystery. Now, when I picked this book up and I read the back, you know, I got a little worried because I get a little hesitant when I read about books that try to, she beat me to it. Dita's got the cover there. I had a link, I swear I did. When people try to validate their thoughts and theories about Bigfoot or any other cryptozoological creature through taking bits and pieces and forming them to support their theories and thoughts, it's a little scary. And it just kind of doesn't work sometimes. But Steve does a fantastic job because everything he does is backed up through his words and through his findings and through his research. And it makes sense. Makes sense to me, and I think it's really worth the read if you're interested in Bigfoot at all and kind of have your own thoughts and theories about what Bigfoot can be. This is a very down-to-earth and very, very well put together book on the subject. And again, I'm always hesitant when I read about people's thoughts and theories about it because people tend to take that information and tend to conform it to their thoughts and opinions. Steve kind of does the opposite way. He validates. He takes his documentation, he takes his research, he takes his findings, and it's already there, all the stuff that's science can provide about primate behavior is there. So it helps back up, it cooperates his stories, his information, and it's put together very well. It just really kind of, it reads really well, and it kind of builds upon itself, and he does talk about his history. And, you know, sometimes people believe that Bigfoot is interdimensional or even alien. And there's a lot of stories about that. I was talking about Stan Gordon's book a few weeks ago that Stan kind of feels that way based upon his reports, the kind of interviews that he's had, the kind of cases he's investigated in Pennsylvania. So, you know, that kind of fits the MO there. But Steve, what he's encountered, what he's seen, he feels that Bigfoot is more or less a real creature, a real animal running around the woods. And I tend to think that way myself. So I do side with Steve, and that's why this book was very easy for me to read, because I do agree with many of his findings. And there's a lot of information. This is one of those books that when you're reading, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that does this, but sometimes when I read things that maybe I didn't think of or that I agree with, I start nodding when I'm reading the book. Well, I did find myself doing that quite a bit. Maybe that makes me weird. I don't know, but I did enjoy a lot of finer points that I never thought of were there. And it was a very enlightening book about Bigfoot and Bigfoot, what Bigfoot or Sasquatch may actually be, if it does in fact exist. And, you know, he's not overly trying to push his agenda or push the fact that it may exist or not. He's just kind of putting together the information based on his sightings or based on the sightings of his clients and documentation in his research and his research into primates, primate behavior, and a lot of other things. But it's a very informative book for anybody that wants to either learn about Bigfoot or actually investigate cryptozoological cases. So I highly enjoyed this book. Came out in 2012. It's 211 pages. Like I said, a very good read. You can get it through Amazon or through his website, SquatchDetective.com. There's a link there to it. It's about the same price. You can get one on Amazon a little cheaper if you want, but you can get it directly from him through his website at SquatchDetective.com. It's about $17. Got mine a little cheaper, I think. I don't remember. Got mine autographed, so that's exciting. It was a good read. I actually started reading the book on Saturday at the conference, and just wanted to kind of peruse it real quick and then put it down, but I ended up getting sucked into it and started reading it. It's a really good read. And again, I highly recommend that. What Would Sasquatch Do? Using Primate Behavior to Look at the Bigfoot Mystery by Steve Coles. And it's probably one of the top books I've read on Bigfoot, or at least Bigfoot behavior, since Lauren Coleman's couple of books on Bigfoot and primate behavior. But this is a little bit different. And really enjoy his take on it. And I'm looking forward to being on his show next Sunday. What else do we have here? Well, we got a lot of conferences, conventions. I always never make time for these things. And also never make time. I have a lot of people that are always asking me questions. I got one question today about the King Tut blade that's been in the news. I'll talk about that real quick. I got accused of covering up big stories or big information. I'm not talking about the groundbreaking stuff that's happening. And one of those groundbreaking stories is this King Tut blade supposedly proves that Egyptians were aliens, I guess. I don't know. I didn't read all those stories. This guy sent me a lot of links to a lot of weird stories that looked like a lot of clickbait stuff. So I went and I did what I do, and I did some research real quick, and it didn't take long. Only took a couple seconds to find that this King Tut blade, you know, they did x-rays and tests on the metal and everything else to determine what was the composition, and people were saying, oh, it's alien. So that means he's alien. The whole race, Egyptians, they were aliens. No. Actually, the blade was made of a meteorite, an iron meteorite. So, yeah, I hate to burst the bubble, but yeah, it did come from space and all, but it was just a rock. It was just a rock that they forged into a blade. That's because that's what you do. You take metal, you take rocks which are made of metal, you make them into, you refine it into a nice piece of metal. And I'm sure, you know, that was very hard to find. So they thought it probably had great properties to it. So, you know, it was this custom little blade with gold on it and a little crystal there. It's pretty cool. His little dagger. But he doesn't have anything to do with aliens and stuff. And I politely replied to this person and haven't heard back from him. So hopefully that answered his question into this greatest discovery of ancient times. Yeah, I don't think there's really much merit to that. But yeah, I'm kind of behind. There's a couple of other people that have asked me questions about how I come up with stories and some of the different things that I do with the show and the history of the show, and I've pointed them in different directions. But I enjoy the questions. I enjoy the feedback from those that listen to the show. And it's always fun. It's always fun to get listener mail, I guess you'd call it. But anyway, back to conferences, conventions. Like I mentioned, got a new one that I'm going to be at in August 20th. That's the 4th annual Strange Encounters of Pennsylvania, Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Coming up, there's quite a few. Let's see. Well, that one's over. Pennhurst Paracon, June 4th through the 5th. Spring City, Pennsylvania. Fort Fest, June 11th and 12th in Hanover, Maryland. And June 19th through the 24th is a combined event, the 59th Annual Convention of the Parapsychological Association, the PA, and the 35th Annual Conference of the Society for Scientific Exploration. Combined event, like I said, June 19th through the 24th in Boulder, Colorado. And also at the end of June is the Haunted America Conference 2016. And I'll mention, too, that I got an email from a guy who doesn't live that far away from me. He's a vendor, and he goes to a lot of these conventions. I don't remember meeting him or seeing him. I think I might have seen his work. Wish I had the link handy-dandy available. I'd put it in the chat room. But anyway, he thanked me for putting this list together. And I've had somebody say that they don't like to hear me talk about these conferences, conventions, because they can look them up themselves. Well, good for you. But I put together this list at paranewsinsider.com, this events list. Every year for, I don't know, last 6-7 years, it's a lot of work to do. And I rely on people who host these events, who are in the areas, the local areas where these events are put on, to help me out with these things. And a lot of people have, over the years, sent me links through Facebook or through other forms of social media or just directly through email. And I really appreciate that, to help this list become the best it can be. And I've had a lot of praise. Like I said, this gentleman just emailed me and said that it really helps him out to get out to these events and to sell his goods. So I'm glad I can help somebody out there, get their exposure and get out there. And it does do the work, I think, for some people. And that's what it's there for. It's kind of a free thing that I do on the side here to help people find these conferences, conventions, because they're wonderful. If anybody who's ever been to one of these, I mean, they're only what you're going to make it. If you spend the time talking to these people, networking with people, you're going to learn. You're going to learn a lot of information, be able to trade stories, find new information about different things. Highly recommend it. What else is going on? Contact in the Desert. That's a UFO event. I got to update this. I got a few that I got to add yet. Contact in the Desert, June 3rd through the 6th in Joshua Tree, California. And the 2016 MUFON of Ohio Conference, June 18th, Ashland, Ohio. I don't think I'm going to make that. I'd like to make that, but I'm not sure I'm going to make that. Cryptozoology, I think we're pretty much done. Well, we got Creature Weekend coming up. How could I forget about that? June 3rd through the 5th, Cambridge, Ohio. Big event. That's the second one there for the Salt Fork State Park area. That one, it's going to be a pretty big event there. Lots of cool cats going to be there. And again, you can check out the list at paranewsinsider.com. Click on the events tab at the top. It's right next to the home, right in between news and home. Click on that. You can check them out. I try to update it a few times a week, and I leave a little trail there. You can see where it's updated, May 26th. Gosh, I got to update that tonight. Got a few more to add. I got a couple of emails, so I'm going to add a couple more events and cross them off as I go, so you know kind of where it's at with the dates and everything. And everything's in, I guess, in order of dates, so it makes it a little easier for you to digest. But they're there for you as a free little service. That's kind of my way of giving back to those who tune into my show each and every week here on WCJV. And as always, if you have any information about any event, and you'd like to hear it here as well as see it on the website, you have any questions, comments, concerns about the show, you love me, you hate me, it doesn't matter. You're not going to hurt my feelings. Insider at paranewsinsider.com, or go to paranewsinsider.com. I got a little contact page there. You can let me know what you think of the show, if you have any information about a story, event, anything. And hook me up, man. Hook up with the social media, Facebook, Twitter, even Pinterest, however you say that. I'm on there too. I don't know why. It's fun. It's neat. Tag a lot of books on there, some stories, some other information to kind of put that in cement for people to find all that stuff in a different way, a different form of social media. And again, as always, big thanks to Cindy for helping with the show. We had a little hiccup tonight, but that's the beauty. That's why I love live radio, because you never know what's going to happen. It makes it exciting. It's not boring. It's not mundane. It's always exciting with live radio and those chickens you keep in the freezer to keep the Skype gods happy. And as well as the chat room. Thanks, guys. Everybody in the chat room. for tuning in tonight. That's where the cool kids are. That's what Cheryl always says. All the cool kids are usually there. And as always, everybody for also, I mean, come on. Listen to the archives. Appreciate that. Keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck. And always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.